Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast. We are going to do another episode of Jammin' with Jamie this week, but don't fear. Next week, we have an interview coming up with Jerome Chang, and we are going to talk co-working space lessons learned from Jerome, who is one of the OGs of co-working. He's been operating, I think, since 2006, and he's also an architect. So he's going to share some design architect-related lessons learned from operating his brand Blank Spaces in LA. So stay tuned for that, and we have some other star-studded interviews coming up. But today it's just me. I'm going to share a couple of thoughts. I've gotten some good feedback from my other Jammin' with Jamie episode, so I thought I'd throw one more in since I've been a little bit quiet on the podcast front. So I launched the new version of the Coworking Startup School and have been super busy finalizing the content and getting my guest speaker content integrated in and supporting the new students. We have 19 new operators in this cohort, and I'm super excited. Interesting fact, half of them own their own building. So this whole idea of building owners getting into co-working is happening. So I'm excited. It's an amazing group, and I feel super blessed to be supporting them through their journey. So one of the first things we do in the Coworking Startup School is work on our ICA, which is our sort of perfect customer avatar. And one of the questions that came up was, is my avatar too niche? And I love this question because I think today the answer, unless you're in a very small market, is generally no, because I think you want to speak very directly to the person coming into the space. And we talked, is this a little bit related to the premium pricing in the camp example, but I have a couple of examples that came up while I was traveling last week. So I was in a hotel with Mara Hauser, who's been on the podcast a few times. She covers design and suburban co-working. She's on episode, I think, 50, 80, and 100, if you want to check her out. But we wanted to have a breakfast meeting. So we were staying in the same hotel and decided, well, my go-to while I travel is to go to Starbucks because I know that they're going to have exactly what's comfortable for me for breakfast, which is my short double almond milk latte. And their almond milk is unsweetened, which is important to me. And their egg bites, because they're super healthy, high protein, not a lot of other stuff in them. So I get a little overdosed on them when I travel for many days in a row, but it's kind of my go-to because I know it's going to fit my healthy breakfast requirement. So she's like, well, let's have breakfast in the lobby and kind of do a working meeting. And I was, the first reaction was like, Starbucks. But I will tell you, the Starbucks in Denver are a little bit challenging because it can be a challenging mix of folks that are in the space that can be hard to get out of the space. So I said, okay, we'll do our work meeting in the hotel lobby. So we walk in and there's a big buffet set up. And, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure who wants a $50 breakfast buffet at a hotel, but somebody must because they pay for it. So we walked in and we said to the server, well, we don't want the buffet. What else do you have? And he said, well, I have some a la carte options. And I said, well, can I get an egg white omelet? And he said, yes. And then I said, do you have almond milk? And he said, yes. And then we both said, do you have Wi-Fi? And he said, yes. And Mara wanted oatmeal. And he said, yes. So we were just like, heck yeah, about this place. And had beautiful windows and just gorgeous decor and like a really sort of peaceful yet energizing place to sit and do our work meeting. And the almond milk lattes were amazing. And that egg white omelet was hands down the best egg white omelet I'd ever had. It was super fluffy. Oh, and they put shishito peppers in it, which I happen to love. And I've never seen that put in an omelet before. But I think the thing was that when we were walking in with the waiter and sort of quizzing him about, you know, do you have the things that we want? And it was yes, 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 yes. We were just like, heck yeah, we're having breakfast here. And I never even, you know, we didn't even look at the menu and we had no idea what it cost. We were just like, take our money. This is perfect. And I think that's the beauty of niching. Not that the hotel experience was super nichey, but they know who they attract and they know that their customers want egg whites and they want something unusual in their omelet, maybe, but still healthy. And they want almond milk in their lattes and cappuccinos. And it was not like a, it was a heck yeah, we're having breakfast here and this is going to be amazing. So I think about what is it that you offer that makes you different and that gives somebody that heck yeah feeling. And I think it's really, really helpful to think about that from the beginning and to really shape something around that, because it's not likely you're going to turn someone off with that, but you can really turn people on. And if you do turn people off, that's okay, because you've hit on something that really compels the group that it compels. The other example I have, and this kind of goes along with the niche, is there's this woman that I follow on Instagram. And if you listen to the podcast, you know that I'm super into CrossFit. So this woman has a brand called the Benchmark Collection, and she literally makes jewelry that is for female weightlifters. How many female weightlifters do you think there are out there that want to wear weightlifting jewelry, right? Talk about niche. This woman makes her living doing this. This is all she sells, and she has her own studio in Brooklyn. So I'm going to read her bio because it just really speaks to how specific she is about what she's producing. Born and raised in Chattanooga, Tennessee, Jahl, I don't know if that's how you say your name, I'm going to guess, moved to New York City in 2009 to pursue a degree in metalsmithing from FIT. Forever a student, she's been learning and practicing traditional metalwork techniques since age 15 and has no intention of stopping anytime soon. In 2015, she felt the positive impact on her self-worth that picking up a barbell had. With time and diligence, she's grown to appreciate setting goals in all area of life and then crushing them. She wanted something gold and tactile to remind her to keep going, regardless of where she was, so she made it. The Benchmark Collection started with a single plate in April of 2017, expanding with a variety of sizes and styles ever since. When I literally just inhale anything that she posts on Facebook, and I just ordered my first piece. And again, I was like, I don't really care what it costs. It was a silver kettlebell, and you could pick the color of the band around kind of the middle of the kettlebell. And she had red as an option, which is my favorite color. And I was beyond excited and ordered it immediately when she launched it. And I actually messaged her, and this is just an aside. She had made a post on Instagram one day on her story saying that she had popped into her favorite co-working space to answer some emails and do some paperwork. And so I just direct messaged her and I said, hey, you know, I love your work and I'm in the co-working industry and just really curious, where are you working? And she said she was at the Wing. And I was a little bit surprised. I love this. So she's super into weightlifting and she has tattoos on her arm, and but she was at the Wing and really attracted to that. And I thought that was interesting. Like, you know, the Wing had really drawn her in with their niche offering for women. And she does something super specific. So anyway, my example with her is she lives in Brooklyn and supports herself with this super niche business. And I think she probably has, you know, 1,000 loyal fans on Instagram. I don't know if you've ever heard that sort of phrase, like all you need is 1,000 loyal fans, but she got that by just doing something really, really specific and being committed to it. And she just really attracts people who are passionate about the exact same thing. So that's kind of my answer to the question, you know, should I niche and can you get too nichey? And I think, especially in markets where there are co-working opportunities, anything you can do to stand out and be different and really attract a specific group of folks is a great idea. That is it for today, and I look forward to bringing Jerome to you next week.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.